The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rather dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions, obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Hello, I'm glad you could join us today. If you would, if you have a Bible, open it to the book of 1 Corinthians. If you don't have a Bible, I'm going to read along so you don't have to worry, but if you have one, get it out. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Let me read that again. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And let's pray. If you would, just bow your head right where you're at and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we take this time now to give thanks for the opportunity we have to study your word, and we thank you that you've given us this word to study. And we pray that this time would be beneficial to glorify you and to give understanding to any saints who would hear it, and as well as anyone who is not a saved person who would like to hear the gospel of what you have done for them. We pray that it would bring people the conviction that they would believe the great gift you've given us. And we just thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The reason I came here today to take this time is I would like to clarify the gospel to you, the gospel of our salvation. And if you're a Christian, you're going to want to hear this. And as well as if you're not a Christian, you're going to want to hear this. And let me start off by saying, if you're a Christian, the need to have the gospel known perfectly and clear is very important for a few reasons. One is, you need to be able to distinguish when you're talking to someone, say on the streets, between a believer and a non-believer, as far as to know whether or not you're to treat them as a Christian or whether you're to treat them as an unsaved person. They may not be a Christian and think that they are, and actually need to know the gospel. They might not be saved. As well as, if they are saved, you'd take a different approach if you had to minister to them, treating them as a brother in Christ. If you're not a Christian, you're listening to me today, you really need to listen to this, because I'm going to tell you how you can have eternal life. And that's important in itself. But to know the alternative, if you don't accept the gift of eternal life, what you're going to have is eternal death. And I would sure hope that you'd want to avoid that. So if you just would study with me, whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to get something out of this. So let's go on. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at some very common misconceptions concerning the gospel of our salvation. And I'm going to look at some verses from some tracts that explain the gospel. And as well as I'll just verbally tell you a few of the misconceptions that I hear people on the streets daily using. People tell me, they're saved. I ask them how, and they tell me so-and-so, whatever the reason is. And here I find out, well, that's not what the Bible says. I've got to show that person, what does the Bible say? How do you get saved? And we're going to look at some examples like that and clarify and tell you exactly how to get saved. What does God say about getting saved? Before I give you the bad examples and show you the mistakes that people make, let's look at what is God's true gospel, his plan of salvation. If you would now, if you do have a Bible, turn to the book of Romans, and we'll see what God's plan of salvation is. The book of Romans, chapter 4. And I should tell you right now, before I go too far, if you're an unsaved person and you would like to put your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to understand what you need to do is do it God's way and don't do it my way. And that might sound funny to say, but don't get saved my way. Don't get saved the way your church says or my church says, or don't get saved your way, but get saved God's way. And let me repeat that. Don't get saved my way or your way, but God's way. He is the only way. And you need to understand what He says. He's given us a Bible to look and see what He said and to study it and do things His way. So what it comes down to is I'm going to show you some verses of what God says. You don't have to trust anything that I say. You need to trust what the Scriptures say. I'm going to be repeating what God has told us. And if you would look at Romans chapter 4, the first verse we're going to look at is verse number 5. Book of Romans chapter 4, verse number 5. It says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." I'll read it again for you. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." That tells me a couple things. The first thing it tells me is, to him that worketh not, but believe, tells me it's not to a person that works to get the salvation, to get that righteousness. I don't have to work to get it. I don't have to do anything. It says, but believe. That's what I have to do. Not work, but believe. And that is contrary already to what many people think. Most people, if you were to sit them down and ask them, how do you get to heaven, or who goes to heaven, they'd tell you, well, the good people are going to go to heaven. You know, people have done good through their life are going to go to heaven. People have done bad are going to go to hell. Well, that's not true, and I'm telling you that. And this verse is saying that from God's Bible. It says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly." Jesus Christ is the one that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. So if I don't work, but believe, my faith will be counted for righteousness. And righteousness is what God's requirement is to get into heaven. And understanding that, what it is God is perfect. He is holy and has no sin in him whatsoever. And he will not for all eternity dwell with any sin. Therefore, our requirement to be with God for eternity is righteousness. The 100% perfection that God is, we have to have. And let me tell you, I don't live up to 100% perfection. I guarantee it beyond a shadow of a doubt. So what do I do to get that 100% perfection that's required? Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and he gave it to me. That's how I get it. Let's look at another verse now. Same chapter, Romans 4. We're going to look at verse number 3. It says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Again, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now remember that as we go through the rest of the show, because that's a key verse for salvation and for my topic in general. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay? The verse doesn't say Abraham prayed to God or asked God, or that Abraham quit sinning, or that Abraham was a good man. It says he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And before, what I say was God's requirement to get into heaven was perfect righteousness. Abraham was counted for righteousness by believing. Let's look at one more verse in the same chapter. We're going to look at verse number 24. Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 24, says, "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." And I'll read it again for you. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." So imputed is just a word that's saying I'm going to get that gift. You know, it's going to be given to me what Jesus did. And it says, "But for us also." And that "but for us," it's not as simple as it looks, "but for us," not, you know, just flat out, you know, not any person of any time in all the ages of the world could read that verse and say, "but for us also." But it just so happens that "but for us" means us. It actually does mean us. It is written to saints in the age of the dispensation of the grace of God, "but for us also." And that is our way of getting saved. "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe." And that's our part. God's done all the work. Jesus Christ came down and died on a cross for our sins. He did all the work, and our half, Our part of the work is there, if you want to call it work. It's not work. I shouldn't call it that. But our part, our answer to God for what he's done is believe. It says, if we believe on him. And that's it. It's only believing. Now, we've established that it's only believing, that that's how we get righteousness. Let's look at two things. First of all, we're going to look at what believe is, and then secondly, we're going to go on to see what we must believe. I looked up in the dictionary some definitions, and there's three words that tie together in the dictionary as well as in the Bible. And these three words are faith, believe, and trust. Okay, and here's the definition. According to Webster, Webster's Ninth Collegiate Dictionary, for believe, it says, to accept trustfully and on faith, to consider to be true or honest. Okay, and to accept as truth, just to put it in a nutshell, that's what believe is. And just to continue, a little explanation in the dictionary gave, belief and faith are often used interchangeably, but belief may or may not imply certitude in the believer, whereas faith always does, even where there is no evidence or proof. So what we have is three words, faith, believe, and trust, which they can mean slightly different things, but most of the time they mean the same thing, and they can mean exactly the same thing, all of them. Now we know what we have to do, and we know what it is to believe. Let's look at what we must believe, and now we're going to go back to the first verse that we looked at. And that was in the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. This is what we must believe in order to get God's gift. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And that's an important part of the verse, for our sins. If you're not believing the whole verse there, you're missing something, and you don't necessarily have God's true gospel. For our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that's what you must believe in order to get saved. And that's it. And there's nothing else. And if you think it's hard to get saved, you're mistaken, because that's all there is believe. And you can do it right now where you're sitting. You can do it anytime you want. You know, you can think about it if you want. I wouldn't put it off long because, you know, I've heard it preached before, and it's an honest statement that one heartbeat and one breath away, you know, comes your death. You're one heartbeat away from your death, and once you die, your chance is gone. Right now, God's giving everybody a chance to believe. No matter what you've done, it doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. If you believe, you're a saved person, and I wouldn't put it off, but you can do it right now. You don't have to do anything else but believe. You can do it anywhere you want, and that's about it. Now, let's look at some common misconceptions about the gospel concerning how you get saved. I've heard people say things like, if I'd ask them how you get saved, they'd say, oh, I asked Jesus into my heart 13 years ago. And the only thing I can think of that comes to my mind is, well, when did you believe on him? When did you trust him to save you? You know, I asked him into my heart before I got saved. And it didn't mean anything. I wasn't a believer at the time that I did it. And that's an essential point to remember, is that a non-believer can ask Jesus Christ into their heart, but a non-believer can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's illogical. What I have here is a tract, and these examples I'm giving you aren't the worst examples I can find. I've visited a lot of different churches. I've visited, you know, preachers who I know are saved men who are friends, and you know, just sometimes just around the city or wherever. And I've heard good gospel presentations sometimes, and sometimes I haven't. You know, in some of these good presentations, I've looked at their literature later and found out, wow, if you had this piece of paper, you couldn't get saved. It doesn't tell you the gospel. And that's what I want to do, is go over some of those things to let you beware. For one, you may be a saved person and have a friend who tells you how they got saved, and they might not be saved and thinking they are. Well, you can show them now where they're wrong and get them saved before it's too late. And if you maybe you're one of those people who have been a little bit confused by preachers or by literature or just not understanding the Bible itself, you can see some mistakes and compare it to what the true gospel is. And again, we said the only answer we have for God for salvation is believe. I have a track here that says, the Bible says there is only one way to heaven. Okay, that's true, and I'll agree with that. Let's see what it says, what that one way is, okay? We know what God's one way is. It's believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for our sins. This says, what you must do, pray to God in your own words. Okay, now how does that differ from what we just started? There's the very first sentence, what you must do to get saved. And this tract says, pray to God in your own words. We just read a little while ago that Abraham believed and it was counted for righteousness. He never prayed to God in any way. He prayed to God certainly afterwards, but he didn't pray to God to get his salvation, any words. So I don't know what this is saying, you know. The rest of the track here says good things, but then it comes to the gospel, and it doesn't say what we have to do. It says, you know, it should say believe. Point number one says admit that you are a sinner and that only the Lord Jesus can save you. As far as salvation goes, that's dead wrong. Now, it's a true statement in a sense that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. And I'll read it again. It says, admit that you are a sinner and only the Lord Jesus can save you. Well, only Jesus can save you, but you don't have to like tell God, I'm a sinner, to get saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to admit you're a sinner is going to show that you're understanding the gospel. And in order to properly understand the gospel, I would have to think that you are going to, in your mind, you know, you're going to understand and know that you're a sinner already. If you didn't, why would you want to get saved? You'd have nothing to get saved from. But as far as having to admit to God, flat out praying it in words, you don't have to do that to get saved. Point number two, and remember, this said there's only one way to heaven. We showed our one-step plan. We're on step two already now. I don't understand why. But it says, repent, be willing to turn away from God. Sorry, repent, be willing to turn away from sin and submit to God. Okay, let me read it again. Repent, be willing to turn away from sin and submit to God. Now, that whole statement is a flat-out lie. You know, that's got nothing to do with how to get saved. What you must do to get saved is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent may be something that God would have you to do to do His will, to repent from your sins. That's what this is saying. Repent, be willing to turn away from your sin and submit to God. The only way this could be a true statement is understanding the word repent and kind of twisting it a little maybe. But the word repent simply means to change. And if you change your mind about what you thought about God, what you believed before, and then believe the truth, then you've repented and gotten saved. But this says be willing to turn away from your sin. And the fact is, you're going to sin after you're saved. You're going to sin before you're saved. And that has nothing to do with salvation. You shouldn't sin after you're saved. Of course not. That's definitely not what God would have us to do. But it has nothing to do with getting saved. God isn't saving good people. God isn't picking out bad people to save. He's saving anyone who believes. You know, as far as God's concerned, we're all wicked and evil. We've all sinned. So there's no justification in repenting from your sins. There's justification in believing in Jesus Christ. Now we come to step number three. It says, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood to pay the price for your sins and that He rose again. All right, now we've come to something that sounds good. If they had wrote that in the back of the track and left everything else out, I'd read this and be happy, and I'd want to pass it around to people and say, read this, and let me read that again for you. It says, believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood to pay the price for your sins and that He rose again. And that's the gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And He did all that for our sins. And all we have to do is believe that to get saved. Okay, now that's it. That's all we need. Here we go on to step number four. And when I'm saying these things, keep in mind, you've probably talked to people that have answered you. If you've asked them, you know, are you saved or are you a Christian? They probably told you some of these things is how they got saved. You know, maybe not, hopefully not. But it happens to me an awful lot of times that I talk to someone and they give me one of these answers of how they got saved. And they're not saved people if that's what they're trusting in. Maybe they just can't communicate it well, but if they're believing in that, then they're not. You know, it's only believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Step number four says, ask God to save you. You know, you can figure that one out for yourself. We've talked about it over and over again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that's it. Why would I have to ask God? Now, after I get saved, something like praying to God and thanking Him for saving me and maybe telling Him my decision. He already knows my decision, but that's not to say He wouldn't hear it from me anyway or that He wouldn't want me to tell Him. He wants to know everything. And I can accept that someone who gets saved would want to pray to God and let Him know what's happened and, you know, just thank God for it. But to ask God to save me, that's like saying, okay, God, please save me. We've already read the essentials is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can say, God, save me. and not believe anything, or believe anything they want. It's not part of the gospel. And there is a footnote there, and it says the book of Romans 10:13. We're going to go back there in a second, okay? But we're going to finish up the last step here, the last mistake in this tract says, ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord, take control of your life. And again, following the same suit as regular, why would I have to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord, take control of my life? The Bible says believe. I've believed. You know, Jesus Christ is going to do that, and after I'm saved, I would certainly ask God's help to help me walk in the way he would, and he's going to do that through the scriptures, you know, my getting the scriptures in me for him to tell me how to do what he would have me to do. But it says, ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord, take control of your life, okay? If that's a step of salvation, I say, Jesus Christ, take control of my life. Anybody can do that, whether or not you believe in Jesus Christ or not. And like I said, you know, some of these I've done before I got saved. I've read things like this and done these steps, and that's one reason why it burns my heart so much to make everybody understand the gospel clearly, because before I was a believer, I thought, well, what if I am wrong? You know, I used to not believe in God. And every now and then I think, what if I'm wrong? What if I am wrong and I'm going on my way to hell? You know, because I kind of understood what the gospel was. And if I was wrong, well, that put a fear in me to think of what hell was like. And I asked God to save me. You know, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, but I didn't believe. You know, I didn't believe, and I didn't know at that time that's what it took to be saved. You know, now I do. Now, getting back to the point 4 that we were at, and it said, ask God to save you. See Romans 10:13. We'll look at that, because this is a verse that may confuse you, and I'm not sure that I understand it fully, but we can look at it and see what God has to say, and, you know, we can reason it out. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that's our dispensation. This isn't taking a verse, I don't believe, out of our dispensation. This verse applies to you and I. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, what does that mean? You know, to call upon the name of the Lord? Or does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord means to do something or say something else? I think now that it means that I think calling upon the name of the Lord is believing on Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to stand real strong on that, because like I said, I don't fully understand this verse, but I will stand strong on the fact that I know all you need to do is believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. And let me read you some verses. You don't have to turn to these verses. I'm just going to read them. And whether or not you understand this verse about calling upon the name of the Lord will become irrelevant when you understand that God has a plethora of verses that tell you how to get saved and how he does it. And let me start, and I'll tell you where they're at, but don't turn because you're not going to have time. I'm just going to read them fast. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 15:9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long sufferings for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Okay, now that was 6 verses, and they all tell you the same thing. Just like Abraham, he believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And that's it. Believe and accounted for righteousness. And what did they believe? They believed the gospel that Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He was God, and he came down from heaven, died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and all that was to pay for our sins. And God says from this book that all you have to do to get the gift, what he paid for, our sins, all you have to do is believe on that. And what he paid for was our sins, being that was the thing that was going to send us to hell for all eternity. And thinking about that, that reminds me of a comparison here. You've got a choice to make concerning heaven or hell, and it's a free gift. And when you think about the alternative, hell, there's nothing in between. Either you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. We just had a function of our Sunday school about a week ago. We had a little campfire, and I remember the superintendent saying, you know, kids, think about this. And it wasn't to scare the kids. It was just a thought before we got into teaching about, you know, think about hell and think about that fire. You know, they're kind of, you know, that's a good example. And I thought about that, and I thought, that is a good example. And every now and then the wind would blow, and it would hit your face, and it would burn, and you'd have to get up and walk around the other side of the fire because it was hot, you know. And when we were 10, 15 feet away from the fire. You know, if you get up close and feel that fire, you know, you're not gonna stay around there for long. It's just going to burn you up. And the thought went through my mind later is, well, that's nothing like hell. That's like a millionth of a percentage of what hell is going to be like. We threw a tin can in there, and it burned up so fast, you know, everybody was surprised. It was aluminum, I mean. And it just burned up, you know, it melted up. And fire, it says it burneth with brimstone. And I'm not a scientist to know what brimstone melts at, but I'll tell you, it's a lot hotter than aluminum. And that's just the part of hell that we know about that is that awful. And all you have to do to avoid that is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you one last verse here. Acts 16:30. The book of Acts 16:30. You can turn there if you want to see it. Again, I'm reading out of the King James Bible. The book of Acts 16:30 says, the Philippian jailer here, after God did some miracles and things, wanted to know what the gospel was. And the Bible says in verse 30, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, and this was Paul and Silas, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And that is all of it right there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you very much for spending this time with us.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.